Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why don't you just start off by sort of introducing yourself and telling a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, so we're Erica and Lanny. Who we are, that is...
It's a deep question for a Monday.
Now,
okay, now she's going to have to edit this part.
No, I just wanted to get like brought up to speed on what this is for. Is it like, are we being recorded?
Yes.
Or is it
like... So, no. You're being recorded and it will be edited, but not by me. So that's why I don't care if we keep it casual. it's basically just for like a little 20-minute podcast episode that the people who are coming to the conference can check out. And generally they all do, just to get an idea of like who each of the speakers are and kind of what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. All right. Good. Sorry about that.
No worries.
The question was who we are and what?
Who you are and what you do. You know, like not everyone's a wedding photographer at this thing. So I just like to preface it by like, who are two man and what's their deal?
Okay, cool. All right. So we're Lanny and Erica of Two Man Studios. So I guess to the world, we appear as wedding photographers, but we really just like to think of ourselves as documentary photographers, whether we're photographing a wedding or we're photographing our kids or we're photographing our family cottage week. We sort of take the same approach. And I think that's an important thing to say just because I feel like photographers in general put themselves in these little boxes. Like, I'm a wedding photographer. I'm a family photographer. I'm a photojournalist. I'm a fashion photographer. And I feel like we can just be a photographer.
And yeah, I would say we are photographers, not even just documentary photographers, because even at our weddings,
that's true.
We make portraits as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's true.
We're just photographers.
We're photographers. Yeah,
and we happen to do that often at weddings
and in our life.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
And we've got two kids who pretty much that's the reason why we do everything. And we've spent the last 2 years,
two and a half years
traveling the world with our kids, actually. Because
how old are the kids now?
They're 8 and 10.
Okay.
So it started when they were like 5 and 7, basically. And we
started
bringing
them with us to travel.
Yeah, because we were just traveling so much with work and we were just tired of leaving them. So we just one day decided, well, actually, Lanny and I were sitting in a coffee shop and we're like, you know, it's really too bad we didn't get this sort of lifestyle before we had kids so we could travel the world. And then we're like, well, why don't we just embrace the fact that we have kids and we've got this opportunity and take them out of school and bring them with us everywhere.
Yeah. We realized that school was the only thing really preventing us from bringing them with us. And mm-hmm. if they were young enough to bring with us, we just realized, let's just do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was only, the idea was that we'd do it for a year. We'd spend 1 year traveling around the world with the kids and connecting all the dots of where we need to be to photograph and to teach. And that kind of turned into 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went back into real school last week. So
yeah.
Now we're, for this year, we're
and I got to tell you, I'm actually liking them in real school.
It's awesome. Were you homeschooling them, or were they just like on permanent summer vacation, or how did that work?
We were homeschooling.
We were quote unquote homeschooling them, but... That's a loose term.
School of life, school of travel. And we definitely were like sticking to the curriculum in some subjects.
Just really
like
math was the only one that we were sticking hardcore to the curriculum.
And they were journaling every day and
journaling
making
every
sure
day.
They do their reading. So the goal was to make sure that when they went back into real school, that they would not be at all behind.
Right.
Actually. And then hopefully, if anything, ahead.
Yeah.
Some things, you know, outside of academics, right? Just life experience.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They got to see 20-some countries on 6 continents in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. And like old enough to remember it too, which is cool.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And was there any moments where you were like, this was a terrible idea? What were we thinking?
Oh, yes. At least once a week.
Question ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly.
And that sort of lifestyle, you know, it looks like it is a dream. First of all, it is a dream. But and when you post it online and Instagram, it looks like a dream. It's like, oh my God, these people are lit. But it comes with its own set of unique challenges that are very real and can be very stressful. Yeah. You know, I mean, you're living with the same 3 people, you know, 24/7, no breaks,
small hotel rooms. Yeah. Trying to keep, you know, stay afloat on our work for our clients and, you know, try to keep the homeschooling.
Well, and you can imagine what sharing a hotel room with your kids for 2 years does to your sex life.
That's fair. And then what about when you actually have to shoot a wedding or something? What happens to the kids then and you're like in like Iceland or somewhere?
We just find sitters wherever we are. Yeah. Cool. Or sometimes we'll bring a family member along but most countries it's pretty easy to, and we're pretty, you know, because we also teach workshops, we've got, you know, I think workshop students from 40, 50 different countries. And so whenever we go to a new country, we usually have some resources in that country that we can draw upon to help us find sitters and venues and all that sort of logistical stuff.
Cool. Yeah. That sounds challenging, but I like it. If I could bring my dog on all my travels, I would. I know.
Yeah.
Almost daily.
Yeah.
It wasn't lost on us how lucky we are to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. Now, what were you guys doing before this 3 years of world travel with the kids? Were you doing photography, but just less travel, or what did that look like?
Yeah, that was sort of we were actually doing more photography, a little bit too much to try and achieve our life, that sort of life balance equilibrium. But the kids were staying at home. We were shooting, we almost had to shoot too much in order to know how to throttle it back a little bit.
But the amount that we were traveling for our work has kind of steadily been increasing.
Right.
Throughout our career. And so it had gotten to the point when they were in school before we took them out, where it was like, okay, something has to change because we're traveling too much now for work and having to spend too much time apart, because we do everything together, right? We shoot together, we teach together, we speak together. So we said, okay, either we're just not going to travel for work, or when and if we do, it'll be rare and it'll be in and out as fast as we can get back to the kids, or we're just going to bring them with us and adapt the life that way, which is what we did.
Because it's really hard to say no to opportunities when someone says, hey, can you, you know, come and photograph our wedding in Thailand? Or, you know, I don't want to say no to those opportunities. I want to be able to say yes to them all. So that's why we adopted this.
Mm-hmm. And you guys live in one of the most beautiful spots in the world, I think, in the country for sure, right in the Rocky Mountains there. What is your favorite place that you've gone and shot an event?
Here. Yeah. Our home is our favorite place.
Yeah. Location wise, this is hard to beat. I mean, it's kind of what we're used to because we see it every day when we come out of the grocery store and we look around, but we still don't take that for granted. And honestly, the more we travel, and the less time we spend at home, it kind of, just reaffirms for us every time we come home, we realize how lucky we are to live and photograph where we do, and how unprecedented it is around the world. Like,
yeah,
it's just
the cleanliness.
Nowhere else, you know, like this.
And I think when you say like this, you mean Canada in general. Like,
yeah, not just here, but I'm not just talking about the scenery per se, but also just the, we found mind-blowing scenery all around the world, but it's hard to find this spectacular with the crowds that we have, right? We realize that some of the places right in our backyard where we can just go and walk and there's almost nobody anywhere else in the world mm-hmm. would just be like an absolute zoo.
Yeah.
It's pretty special.
But more, I'd say more important, I mean, we get this question a lot, like where's your favorite place where you've shot a wedding?
Yeah.
And more important than the location is just the people in the moment. Like it could be in their parents' basement for all I care. Honestly, it's the potential lies within the relationships and the glances and the moments. And that's what excites us more than the scenery.
Yeah. When people ask, like, what's your favorite, like, what are your favorite weddings? Or the ones you remember most, or favorite places you could travel for weddings. It's never the location that jumps into our mind.
Right.
The memories we have based on just the experience, the vibe, and the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could open your email right now and find an inquiry there, what would that inquiry need to say for you to be like, yes, this is a dream come true?
Well, first of all, we're always yes. We never turn anybody away. We never reject any weddings based on anything unless we can't physically make that date work or we're already booked.
Right.
So theoretically, every wedding is exciting enough for us to be a potential wedding that we'd love to photograph. And
in terms of the email inquiries that come through, the ones that excite us the most are the ones that are excited by what they see on our website.
Yeah.
The ones that place a super high value on photography, the ones that, you know, say, oh my gosh, I love your work and I'm buying my dress on Kijiji so that I can actually afford to get you guys there.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that excite us the most.
Yeah, the more excited they are about photography and about us being their photographers, the more excited we get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because do you feel like that will translate on the day to, you know, you guys having the time you need and just them thinking more about how photography fits into the day than, you know, having the
not so much that because really we usually don't want our clients to have to adapt their wedding day at all for us or photography. In terms of like having time for portraits, that depends on how much of a priority it is for them, but it's really 5 or 10% of the day, and the rest is just it's their wedding, and so.
And we take a documentary approach.
Yeah, and so we don't need time. We just shoot reality and whatever happens. But mm-hmm. what it translates more into is trust,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they're excited, and their priority is their highest priorities are on photography, and they've really fallen in love with our work and what we do. It just translates into trust.
Yeah.
They kind of let us do what we need to do to make the work.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
There was one inquiry we got once and it sort of stuck out, or I just thought of it when you asked this question because I only remember one line from it, but we were like, they ended up not being able to afford us and we did offer to come down in price a bit, which we never do. But it was because her inquiry was so excited about her photography. Like she said something about the fact that she put a heart rate monitor on while she went to our website to actually measure if her heart rate went up when she viewed the photographs on our website, and that it did go up, and how much the photos affected her. And like, it was the most amazing inquiry we've ever received.
Yeah.
It never ended up panning out. But yeah, that was that one we really tried to make happen.
Oh, that's so cute. That's amazing.
I know. I was like, what? You actually put on a heart rate monitor? And she like gave us her heart rate monitor stats and everything.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Hmm. Yeah.
And are you guys from Canmore? Just curious, like how you ended up there?
Oh, how we ended? Well, no, we're not.
But we've been here for almost 20 years.
Yeah, almost 20 years.
18 years.
Yeah. So we ended up here, actually, it's just our past life. Like, before we had kids and how sort of Landy and I met and developed our relationship was through mountain adventure. We were both sort of on the guide or on the path to mountain guiding and environmental education, and, you know, being able to step out of our doorway and go for a run on a trail or go climbing or go kayaking or go mountain biking was just important for us in our lifestyle choices. And so that's how we ended up here.
Nice. But you're both Canadian. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool. And so you mentioned that you do some teaching. Tell me a bit about that. So do you do workshops, kind of like intimate workshops, or have you done something like Way Up North before where you're giving a talk to a bigger crowd? What goes on?
Well, we do both. Our workshops are very small and intimate though. There are only 12 photographers and it's basically a 3-day full on, everything we got, full immersion. We sort of basically live together for those 3 days.
Yeah. We actually just finished one 2 days.
Just wrapped one up. Yeah. And then, which is a very different thing from like a Way Up North where we're speaking to a much larger audience, for obviously a much shorter time. And we kind of like hone in on one topic or, idea rather than just kind of diving into everything.
Yeah. We try and sort of approach our conference presentations is getting people excited, lighting a fire up under their ass. And then our workshops are much more sort of hands-on practical.
Right. Right.
Although this presentation that we're giving is both. It's very hands-on practical. It's all about lighting. And specifically lighting on the dance floor.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Cause I mean, that's one pretty much consistent thing through weddings is dances and parties. And it's our favorite part of the day to shoot often. And, so we're going to go into detail on 5 or 6 different lighting techniques that we use on the dance floor.
Yeah. Cool. That's interesting you bring that up because, I'm a wedding planner and when looking at photographers, like with clients or suggesting them, it's amazing like how I used to just be completely oblivious to like the dance floor photos and be looking at the portraits with them and whatnot. And now I like bring them to that point in people's blog stories and stuff to see if they like that. Cause a lot of the photographers like personality comes out in how they deal with dance floor shooting.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the guests' personalities really come out on the dance floor, right? Yeah. Because it's like the end of the day, they're all letting their guard down and it's such an important part of the day, especially as a photographer. Like, you know, there's so many natural light shooters out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you get to the dance floor, you gotta be able to use lights and be confident in lights. Yes. And a lot of photographers have sort of flash anxiety. I mean, we do. I think it's common, you know, everyone gets a little bit anxious using flashes, especially for the first time. But, it can really sort of transform that dance floor into much more interesting photos and moments.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear your talk now, actually, because it's so true. I put a big emphasis on music in my career too. And I always say, you know, the dance party, when it comes to your reception, if you're starting at like 6 PM or something, you're having dinner, like dancing is like half of your party. It's like 50% of what goes on.
Yeah. So you like encourage people to go with like professional DJs as opposed to like their own little iPod mix or?
Yeah. Well, I take it a step further because I actually have a second company that is a company that does bands. There's one. I love bands. Yeah. We have one in Calgary. So maybe you'll come across them at some point. The band's called Side One.
What are they called?
Side One.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that?
I've heard of them.
What's it called?
Fab One.
Side One. Yeah. They're in Banff all the time, but I'm just like I was just saying, dancing is such a big part of the night that I'm all about a band.
Whenever our clients talk about whether they're deciding between a DJ and a band, I'm like, go for the band.
Go for the band.
Yeah. I'm like, they can bring such awesome energy to that reception.
Totally. I like it. Now you guys are extra in my favor.
Yes.
You like shooting dance floors and you like bands.
Oh, I love bands. I'm all about it. We just had our 40th birthday party.
Oh, nice.
And we had a band.
Sweet.
From this wedding that we shot, this retro 80s band called Val Kilmer and the New Coke. And it was like, that's all we needed for our 40th birthday party.
That's amazing. What a good name.
Yeah, I know, right?
So are you guys bringing your kids to Germany?
No, we're not. Uh-huh. It's like a whirlwind trip. And they'd just be spending most of the time with a sitter. So,
and they've only been just kind of returned to school, so we don't want to pull them out for a couple weeks.
Oh, right. Yes, you said that. They're getting a legit education now, so we got to.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it was always legit, but now it's real, quote unquote, real school.
All right. Yes. Yeah. I think that traveling and journaling about it really probably covers your bases at, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. You know, you're writing and you're living.
Yeah, exactly. And you go to like the toilet in India once, and it's like social studies for the entire year.
That's so true. So
and then you go to Japan and use their toilets, and you know, it's just so
many thing.
So many different learning experiences.
Now, how do your kids feel about being back home and in school?
They're great. They're kind of easygoing kids. They all make the best of whatever they're doing, so they're happy to be back in school. They both told me that their teachers are way better teachers than I ever was. Very true.
That's cool.
Yes. No, they're doing great.
So for your talk at Way Up North, you're going to talk about lighting and in a sort of a practical sense. What do you hope at the end of your talk sort of people take away from it?
Do you want to talk?
Something's jumping in your head right now. I'm thinking on it right now.
Okay. I would say that people come away with some new tools and techniques, very practical new tools and techniques to achieve dance floor lighting, like as simple as that, and that they get excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be big for me, is just to want everybody to feel – super stoked for their next wedding, and specifically the next wedding reception and the dance floor, to get in there and make awesome photos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only like the techniques and tools to do so, but like some of the motivations behind it and the importance of, you know, being able to show people at, in some ways, they're purest, you know, like on the dance floor with the music. Sometimes that's when the little boy or the little girl inside comes out, right? That that they don't show often. And so kind of our job as photographers is to immortalize that and show that to their families and, you know, make those memories. So I think it's, those are the goals.
Yes.
So just fired up to get in there, and here are some really cool techniques to help you do so.
And then the last thing that we'd like to achieve, which we try and achieve in all our presentations, which sounds might sound a little strange, but we want everyone to be entertained. We want to entertain people.
Start to finish.
It's a presentation, and it's got content, and it's got valuable content, but we don't want anybody to be sort of sitting there like bored or
looking at your watch. Somebody looks at their watch, we failed.
Yeah. We want people to be entertained for those 45 minutes and just have fun. And
yeah, make it fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we should make everyone dance while you're doing your thing.
We might have a few things up our sleeve. Yeah.
Amazing. Love it. That's good. Yeah. I mean, that sounds so good. I do think like it's interesting. I'm glad we had this conversation. I've never even given thought to this topic, but there are so many photographers who are, you know, those sort of natural light masters. And then, you know, as soon as the first dance is done, they'll shoot, you know, for like 10 minutes and then say goodbye. So I'm curious, how long do you guys stay during dancing?
Oh yeah.
Well, it depends on the dance. And we only have one option. Like, we don't have packages or whatever. So our couples, they either hire us or they don't. So if they're hiring us, they get us
for the entire
day. So right. There's no like our package, or we have to pack up and leave because they didn't purchase enough hours.
Right.
This is what we've kind of done, because we only do 15 weddings per year. And so we're kind of like, we want to tell the whole story of each and every wedding. So we go start to finish, and the finish, depending on the party, sometimes it's around, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Other times it's at 2 or 3 in the morning. So we don't really put any cap or time on it. We leave once we feel like, okay, we've got the story. It's all in here now. And so sometimes that's 2 or 3 hours on the dance floor, and sometimes that's 5 or 6 hours on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
We want to be there when, like, people's really let their guards down. And that usually doesn't happen in the first 3 or 4 songs.
For sure.
And things are really crazy, typically, once the parents go.
Yeah, once the parents and the grandparents go.
It's like, okay, let's stick around until the shirts come off, or whatever's going to happen tonight, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ties on heads.
Ties on heads, yeah. Brain champagne, all that stuff.
We're also going to talk about in our presentation, like, some of the things that we do throughout the wedding day that are important, you know, seeds that we plant early on that allow us to shoot the dance the way that we do, which is right up in there. There's a lot of strategic things that we do throughout the day. For example, we don't stage or direct anything. We never ask anybody to do anything for us. Or not do anything for us, other than when we're doing portraits, right? So we just do reality, and that sort of sets the precedent throughout the day that nobody's going to be looking to us for direction, and they all get acclimatized to our presence. And by that point, they're just totally forget about us, and we're able to just shoot without worrying about people being conscious of us or camera aware or looking to us for direction.
Yeah, and the other thing is that we're right in the dance. Like, we're in the dance, pretty much dancing with the
dance. Are you dancing?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because it's kind of awkward if you're just sort of this stoic photographer, you know, photographing this crazy person in front of you, right? Whereas if you're in the dance, photographing from that perspective, from that inside perspective, you can get those real, you know, moments where the guy, you know, it's kind of gross sometimes. People
feel
are
like
sweating all over you.
We want the photos to make the viewer feel like they're in that
the
dance floor rather than being dance floor.
Yeah. So we want to be photographing in the dance as opposed to from the outside.
Yeah, you're not like on a chair beside the dance floor kind of thing.
Yeah. You kind of have to have been doing that all day long in order to get that access.
That makes sense. Yeah. Like building the trust. Or
exactly.
Building the ignoring, as the case may be.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, I'm stoked for you guys' presentation.
I'm stoked you guys did.
It sounds like you have it pretty well figured out, too, unlike me, who I do mine, like, the night before when I do this kind of thing.
Well, we did a little test run of this one. Like, this one was definitely built for way up north in mine, but we did a little test run of it a few months ago.
We're tweaking and improving and finalizing.
I know. They told us, Cole and Jacob said, we need your presentation.
We have 45 minutes. Yeah. So we have to like make it fit that.
Well, and yeah, they said, we need your presentation now. And we're like, well, we're not going to be done it until the night before. So hopefully we can switch it out.
You know what? I remember the very first way up north some years ago. You know, we required everyone's presentation, you know, 30 days out. And the idea was just to make sure nobody was repeating each other and whatnot, and also just get an idea that people have their shit together. But everybody at that first one, you know, wanted to change it the night before. And then after I spoke at one, then I really understood more. So we want to get it so that we know it's all happening. But you can absolutely show up with the USB on the day.
I just sent a message today asking, like, you know, how long can you give us? And I have something I can get you right now. But for us, like you said, we're often tweaking right up until we go up on that stage.
Yeah.
So
you know what? Just send Cole whatever and just know that we'll do it on the morning.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. We're talking to planners. good.
We like the one thing that trips us up on the day is like when we don't have a font that someone wants. So if you send it before, we get all the fonts and we're all good. And then when you update it, it's fine because we already have the font.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Love it.
All right.
Sweet. That's an exciting note for everyone. Fonts, font management.
We do have a special font in ours.
Yeah. Fonts matter. We all know this.
Should I send you the font?
Sure. Send me the font. I'm excited.
Okay. Because it's not one that comes with the computers. My brother specifically designed it.
Oh, so. Yeah. Definitely send it. Send it to Cole. Send it to me. We definitely have a font to work on the day.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for taking some time out and enjoy the rest of your day with your kids in school.
Yes. Yes, we will.
Yeah. And we'll see you, we'll see you next week, like basically this time next week.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Okay. Yes. We'll see you next week in another continent.
That's right. We'll be very equally tired in the same way. So we can bond about that.
Yeah, we can bond. We can just drown it with some wine or.
Yeah.
Actually, we're going into the land of good beer, right?
That's right. Yeah, we'll have beer, maybe a dance party of three.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks you two, and I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.